From the studios of WHQR Public Radio in Wilmington, this is Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. The term Ebonics was coined in the early 1970s as a way of describing language patterns used by some African Americans. By the 90s, a school system in Oakland, California passed a resolution adopting Ebonics as a native language. Not long after that, a national controversy erupted. One senator at the time, Locke Faircloth of North Carolina, called the acceptance of Ebonics one of the most absurd examples of political correctness he'd ever seen. A couple of decades later, the debate is still alive. The terminology, however, has shifted to African-American vernacular English. Sociolinguists say the language patterns that make up this kind of English are not only as structured as so-called standard English, they're also complex and quite legitimate. That's the crux of what we're going to explore today, along with the implications for people who do speak African-American vernacular English, or AAVE. Joining us in studio today to talk about his work teaching young African-American men how to move within white middle-class American culture, Frankie Roberts. He is the executive director of LINC, or Leading Into New Communities. Frankie Roberts, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you, Rachel. Good to be here.
Good to have you here. Also with us today, he's a sociolinguist at North Carolina State University and a pioneer in the field of African-American vernacular English. Walt Wolfram is the author of more than a dozen books on dialect, including The Development of African-American English, Dialects in Schools and Communities, and American English, Dialects and Variation. He's also the director of the North Carolina Language and Life Project. Walt Wolfram, welcome to Coastline.
Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you here. If you'd like to share an experience you've had with linguistic profiling, or tell us what you think about the acceptance or rejection of African-American vernacular English in the culture, send us an email. That address is coastline@whqr.org. We'll also open the phone lines in a few minutes as well, and you can give us a call at 910-343-1138. Walt Wolfram, as a sociolinguist, would you say there is a correct way to use the English language?
There is a socially designated way to use the English language. It's not correct linguistically. It's a matter of social pressure and social norms. But linguistically, African-American English or Appalachian English is the equal of any standardized English. It's simply a matter of who has the linguistic power, who has the social power, and language follows social power.
And why do you say, as a linguist, from a linguistic perspective, it's as legitimate?
Well, because when we look at it, we look at the various rules that govern. So a person may look at a particular structure used by an African-American, such as the use of be, as in sometimes my ears be itching, and they may say, oh, that's incorrect English. But from our perspective, we look at as a form of a grammar and how it's used and find out, for example, that that form is used to indicate habitual action. So a person might say, my ears usually be itching, but my ears, but they would not say my ears be itching right now. So we look at the structure of the language and follow the patterns that are used by speakers, which is a wonderful testimony to the human mind and its capability with language.
Frankie Roberts, you spend a good part of your time teaching young African Americans, boys and men, how to navigate what you call white middle class culture. And to a lot of our listeners and a lot of white people in the community, the fact that that even needs to be taught is sort of mind bending. Tell us why and tell us what you teach.
Well, it's necessary, as Brother Wolf has said, that because who has the social power? And in this society, white middle class and upper class primarily have that power. So in order for a black person, since I cannot hide the color of my skin, there are things that you try to leverage that creates equality. And speaking the King's English well is one of the things that help us navigate white male culture or middle class culture. And so we teach young men how to, you know, we would use the word code switch, but we teach them different approaches that will help them in their process of becoming successful in the society. And English and the King's English is one of those things. So as I normally say, I wouldn't say Brother Wolf been gone, because that's what we would say if somebody asked us, where's Brother Wolf? I would say, Brother Wolf been gone. Mm-hmm. Versus in the King's English, we would ask a young man to restate that in the King's English, and we would say, Brother Wolf left 18 minutes ago.
It's interesting to me that you even, because you've done two things here, Frankie Roberts. You've used the term code switching, which to me implies that we're just switching back and forth between language forms. There's no judgment on one form over another. They're just different. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying black people have to switch back and forth.
Right.
Because typically I'm going to go back to my neighborhood that does not necessarily, well, I won't be able to communicate as effectively as I would otherwise. Because if I told some of my white friends, let that window up, they're going to say, you mean roll it up, lift it up? And
right.
They say, do I need to give the window permission to go up? And you say, let that window up. They wouldn't know what I was talking about.
Right.
So we have to go back and forth because we don't typically have the power to do anything other than go back and forth.
The power. And you also refer to the other form of English as the King's English, which also is there are implications of power in that term. Well, Wolfram, would you normally call what white middle class people speak the King's English, standard English? How do you refer to this?
Well, titles and names are always problematic because you can't use them without sort of understanding the political power. So I have spent, 4 to 5 decades talking about terms. I would simply refer to it as what people refer to as mainstream English if they want to use the term standard English. I understand that. I understand the hierarchy. My argument is that people learn to use standard English not because the system that they have is inferior, but because it provides the cosmetic that goes along with functioning in that social setting. So I tell students, it's not that something's wrong with your language. Your language is great. Let me tell you how it works, and it's really cool. But by the same token, if you're going to an interview and you're expected to wear a suit and you show up in jeans, that's problematic. So in that sense, there's nothing inherently wrong with the language. It's wonderfully patterned. It's wonderfully systematic. But there are expectations in terms of situations. And if you don't act according to people's expectations, whether they're right or wrong, and they are often wrong, then you are judged accordingly.
Well, Wolfram, in an interview with our producer, you talked about diversity and how, a new diversity officer was recently hired at UNCW. This is a new role. And you had an interesting observation about race and other parts of the culture, and you said something about language getting left outside the door of the diversity office. What did you mean by that?
What I mean is that we celebrate all of these different strands of diversity, whether it's race, ethnicity, religion, sexual preference, gender, and so forth. But we never talk about linguistic diversity and how important that is, and how to embrace people who come from different backgrounds linguistically. And so one of the things that we're trying to do, for example, at different institutions, including North Carolina State University, is when new faculty, when new students come to student orientation, they are told about linguistic diversity at our institution and how it's a part of celebrating who we are and who we represent and all of these different regions and cultures and different social and ethnic groups. So our point is that we need to start including language in education an acceptance of diversity.
And Frankie Roberts, when you're teaching your students about navigating what we're calling white middle class culture, is there any judgment going on? Do you teach correct and incorrect, or are you teaching this is one form and this is another form? How do you approach that so your students don't feel belittled?
Yeah, they're equal. We that's why we ask them to restate it, because we believe that knowledge without zeal would get you killed. So if I go back to my community, not that it's dangerous or anything, but you know, it's always good that I can still engage and communicate effectively if I might have a corporate job that requires me to speak and know when I say the King's English, which I'm glad Brother Wolf made a good point. We almost use the word King's English as being condescending, for the lack of a better word, because it's to make fun of, like, you know, that it is above when it shouldn't be. And it is definitely equal. I was a barber for a living, so I became, you know, I used to speak, you know, I'm around guys that I'm familiar with. We speak how we speak. But when my son, my youngest son, went to Eaton Elementary here local, which is predominantly white, he reacquainted me with the King's English.
They always teach mom and dad something, don't they?
Yes. So I went from dad to father.
Really?
Because he started saying, yes, father, because that's the guys he hung out with all day. That's how they primarily, or yes, dad versus uh-huh, dad.
You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM. We're talking about the role of African-American vernacular English in our schools and our culture at large. Walt Wolfram, sociolinguist at NC State, is here along with Frankie Roberts from LINK. If you'd like to weigh in, give us a call, 910-343-1138. Email is coastline@whqr.org. We'll be back in a moment. This is Coastline.